Speak to us now, O Lord, we pray. Speak to our souls today. For this is why we've come, dear Lord. We're ready for your word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Heaven and earth will pass, but God, your word will forever last. We now are ready for your word. Father, we pray that as this preaching moment takes place, great seed would be planted. Planted seed will be watered, and that you will bring forth a harvest and increase out of our lives. Let my words be your words, so that your people will hear from you. And in hearing from you, be committed to not just being a hearer of the word, but a doer as well. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So it's December the 31st, 2024. A young man that I know, have befriended, he's young enough to be my son, posted something asking people for their feedback, their critiques on ways that he could improve his life. And when I saw it, I thought to myself, has he lost his mind? Like, why are you putting this out there in public? Like it's one thing if you ask one or two people, but you putting this out there for 17 billion people in the world, right? Like, that's what you want? So I send him a private message. I said, hey, listen, man, don't live your life worrying about other people's opinions. Just focus on what the Lord wants you to do. I wrote several other things. And it sounded pretty good when I sent it. So I said, let me post it. So I posted it. This is what I posted. I'll be honest with you. I don't care what other people think about me or what they think I should do. Their opinion of me is none of my business. If they don't care enough to share it, I don't care enough to seek it. I don't live for the approval of others. If I did, I would die from their rejection. I have enough on my plate doing what I know God wants me to do. That's my focus for 2025 and beyond. Y'all, I start getting all kinds of phone calls. People like, Pastor, you all right? I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. What are you talking about? Man, is somebody messing with you? Man, do I need to go see some? I said, what are you talking about? I mean, friends of mine from New York were calling me. They was like, bruh, you good? I'm like, I'm great. Why? Man, I saw what you posted. I said, what I posted? I didn't think anything about it. Y'all, I'm getting ready for this message today. And I said, man, let me go see, because my wife said, you know, a bunch of people responded. So I'm like, let me check. Wow, 279 likes, 95 positive comments, 33 shares. And that was just on one of my social media pages, right? Now, I never checked, because let me tell you something. When I posted it, I didn't even care. Like, I wasn't posting it for somebody to like it. I wasn't posting it for somebody to affirm what I was saying. I was just saying what I was saying. But here's what I've come to understand. There are many people in this world who live for the likes. We would call those people pleasers. You ever heard that phrase, people pleaser? A people pleaser is someone who consistently tries to make other people happy or to get other people's approval at the expense of their own needs and well-being. People pleasers agree with others publicly even if they disagree with them privately. People pleasers avoid conflict at all costs. People pleasers get out of their way to do things for others. People pleasers apologize for things that aren't their fault. And people pleasers change their personality depending on who's around them. How many many of you know somebody who's a people pleaser? Raise your hand if you know at least one person who's a people pleaser. Yeah. How many of you, somebody has said to you, you're a people pleaser? Okay, you don't have to raise your hand. I know. Many people work hard to get the approval of other people. It's their okay that makes you feel okay. But my brothers and sisters, as we go into this new year, I want to challenge you to think about who you are living your life to please. So somebody under the sound of my voice, you are working hard to please somebody else. And somebody else, you may be working hard to try to please the person that you look at in the mirror every day. But I submit to you, my brothers and sisters, those of us who say we belong to Jesus Christ, there is only one person we should be working to please. And I want to challenge you today to rethink your life and redirect your life from being a people pleaser to being a God pleaser. At the end of the day, will the opinions of people really matter, or will ultimately the opinion of God matter? So I want to talk today for a few moments from the thought, how to live to please the Lord. How to live to please the Lord. If you have your outlines, would you say amen? If you need an outline, raise your hand and the ushers will get one to you. And for those of you who are online, you can download an outline from our website, goodhope.org, or you can download our app and you can find the outline there. The context of our foundational text reveals that Jesus had just completed questioning his disciples about who people thought he was and had warned them of his pending suffering, rejection, and death. And it's on the heels of this great confession by Peter regarding who Jesus is that Jesus shifts the focus and issues this great challenge regarding who is going to be his follower and how to follow the Lord in a way that pleases him. His focus moves from what he would go through to what they must be willing to do in order to be his disciples. And Jesus doesn't just speak to a few, he's really speaking to everyone. Luke chapter 9, verse 23, our foundational text, and he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Verse 34 of Mark chapter 8, the ESV translation says, and calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And Jesus asked a very fundamental question. He basically says, who are you going to serve? Who are you going to follow? Now, there are two problems immediately that come to the surface when it comes to pleasing God. The first problem is not enough of us want to live in a way that pleases God. We focus on pleasing ourselves, and if God is pleased as an ancillary side note, then that's all good. But we start with what pleases us and what we want. Here's the second problem that comes up. Too many of us who say we want to please God, listen carefully, want our pleasing of God to be pleasurable to us. So we say, oh yeah, I want to please the Lord as long as it's pleasant for me. But I'm not trying to do any suffering in this pleasing to God. See, because I'm too busy, I want to name it and claim it, call it and haul it, grab it and have it. I want this thing to be about what I want, and so I'll please God as long as it's pleasing to me. But Jesus in our text says there are some things that you and I must do. We must be committed to if we really want our lives to be pleasing to God. Here's the first thing. Number one, if you're going to please the Lord and live in a way that pleases the Lord, you must make the decision to intentionally follow the Lord. You must make the decision to intentionally follow the Lord. Luke chapter 9, verse 23, the ESV translation says, "And he said to all, if anyone would come after me," if anyone would come after me. That word "if" is a subordinating conjunction, indicates an opportunity, not necessarily or not expressing doubt, but basically saying you and I have a choice. You don't have to, but you must choose to, and you must be intentional in your choice. In other words, you don't accidentally follow Jesus. You don't accidentally become committed to the Lord. That's a choice you have to make. So he says, if anyone, now, for most people, when we think about this verse, we think about it in the context of salvation and a commitment to know Jesus as Savior. But I believe that the application of this passage is not only relevant in terms of salvation, but it's also relevant in terms of the context of sanctification. In other words, it's not just you making a decision to know Jesus as your Savior, but are you willing to make that commitment to grow in Jesus as your Lord? See, I believe that the problem in the world today is that people need to prioritize God in their life. And watch this, that prioritizing of God in their life is a message for saint and sinner, for believer and unbeliever. The unbeliever needs to prioritize God in their life so they can know him as Savior. But the church, the believer, the child of God, needs to prioritize God in their life so they can know him as Lord. So he says, if anyone will come. Now, I believe it's present here in the middle voice, in that it's a decision that you have to make. You've got to make a shift. You've got to make a move to move from where you are to where God wants you to be. Can I tell you the biggest problem in life? Not for you, but the person sitting next to you. Here's the biggest problem they have in life. They always want God to move to them instead of them to move to where God wants them to be. We want God to bless us where we are, doing what we are, the way we are, acting how we act. And Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, that means it's voluntary, but it has to be intentional. You got to make some steps. You got to choose to live like him. You've got to choose to walk with him. You got to choose to follow him. Now, you can choose to please God or you can choose to please someone else. It's up to you. Jesus says, I want you to choose to follow me. Remember what he said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, that no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. Look at Romans 6, beginning at verse 11. Let's read it together. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. I was talking to one of the professors at Texas Southern University, Prof. Howard, and we were talking, and I was talking to him, and I was trying to be deep, y'all. I was trying to be deep because, you know, I love music. I don't play anything. There's music in me. It just hasn't come out of me yet. But we were talking, and so we were talking about musicians and playing instruments. I was doing an interview with him for Real World, Real Talk, and June is Black Music Month, so we were talking about great musicians. And I said to him, I said, I said, Prof, I said, you know, it's interesting to me, you know, because, you know, people have instruments. Sometimes they're playing with their hands, and sometimes their instrument is their voice. And he said to me, he said, well, he said, Pastor, he said, in actuality, every one of us is an instrument. So I said, what do you mean every one of us is an instrument? He said, every one of us is an instrument, and we've got to learn how to live our lives in alignment with the key that God wants us to play in. I said, key, God. He said, we got to learn how to live our lives in a way. He said, because you are the instrument. He said, the instrument that's being played is really not the instrument. It's just the vehicle through which the person vocalizes who they are as an instrument. Which means every one of you is an instrument. That's what Paul says. You are an instrument for righteousness. Here's the second thing. Number two, if you're going to live to please the Lord, you must deny yourself. You not only must make a decision to intentionally follow the Lord, but you must deny yourself. It's right there in the text. It says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself. To deny is a strong term. It's a similar word that was used to describe later on when Peter would deny Jesus, right? When Peter would say, I never knew him. I don't know him. I've never been with him, right? Denying any knowledge of, except here's what the Lord says. He says, you've got to learn how to deny yourself. You've got to learn how to subdue. You've got to learn how to disregard. You've got to learn how to discipline yourself. He said, you've got to learn how to deny your desires. You've got to learn how to say no to yourself. And here's the truth of the matter. Too many of us have an easier time saying no to other people than we do to ourselves. We have a challenge. We have a difficulty of saying no. Even when we know what's right and we know what's wrong, we still have a problem saying no to ourselves. The New Living Translation says it this way. You must turn from your selfish ways. You must turn from your selfish ways. So basically, here's what the Lord says. He says, you have a choice. You will either indulge yourself or deny yourself. You will either live a life of self-indulgence or you will live a life of self-denial. But you have to choose what kind of life you're going to live. 1 John chapter 2, beginning at verse 15, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride in possessions, is not from the Father, but is from God. Every sin in life falls into one of three categories: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life. And Jesus says, until you get to the place where you can discipline yourself and say no to your own desires, it's going to be hard for you to live a life pleasing to God. I told you, number one, you must make the decision to intentionally follow God. Number two, you must deny yourself. Here's the third thing. Number three, you must take up your cross every day. You must take up your cross daily, every day. That's what Luke 9:23, the end of that verse, Jesus is speaking. He says, take up his cross daily. Let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. Now, when Jesus says take up your cross, he's not talking about putting on that 14 karat gold cross that you wear around your neck as a piece of jewelry. He's not talking about getting big hoop earrings with a cross dangling from the end of them. He's not talking about putting on a diamond encrusted cross and using it as a beacon to signal an airplane on where to land. In the Roman Empire, a convicted criminal, when they were taken to be crucified, was forced to carry their cross. That cross showed publicly that he was under submission and under the penalty of death. He had to be submissive to the ones who had ordered his demise, who had ruled that he should die. And the cross here is not a reference to suffering. Listen carefully. The cross here is a reference to submission. It should be a symbol every time you see it of your unequivocal surrender to God as being the Savior and Lord of your life. You wear a cross and it looks good, but the question is, does it help you to act good? Does it remind you to live good? To live the way God wants you to live? Jesus tells us to take up our cross, not to take up somebody else's cross, but to take up your own cross. Daily, every day, take up your own cross. You know, it's amazing how we become experts at judging other people and their cross. What we would do if we were in that situation, even though we've never been in that situation. What they should have done, how they should have made it right, and all of that stuff. And we can't get our own stuff right. We haven't learned how to carry our own cross. He says, I need you to deny yourself and carry your cross every day. Submit your life to the Lord every day. So this is not a once in a while act, right? This is not something that you do periodically. This is something that you are to do perpetually. Every morning you wake up, do you start off with yielding yourself to God? Do you start off praying, saying, God, use me as an instrument to do your will? God, as I come in contact with people who need you, I come in contact with people who know you, prepare me to be an instrument to be used to help change somebody's life. Or are you just getting up, just going about your business? Maybe praying in the morning. Hopefully praying at night, but no prayer impact on your life all day long. He says you ought to take up your cross daily. Listen, can you imagine carrying that big old cross? No. Not for Passion Week, not for Holy Week. Can you imagine carrying a big old cross every day of your life? I think it would be clear that if you were carrying that big old cross up there every day of your life, it would impact what you would do. Watch this. Certain places you wouldn't go because the cross won't fit. Y'all not praying with me. Certain people you wouldn't talk to because the cross would take up the conversation. But man, why are you carrying that cross? What you doing with that cross? You all right? Yeah, I'm fine, but ain't nobody else carrying no cross like that. He says you and I have to take up our cross daily. See, it is not a cross unless you have a challenge bearing it. It becomes a cross when it tests you. It becomes a cross when it challenges you. It's a daily challenge to be what God wants you to be. And here's the problem for many of us. You claimed Jesus as your Savior when you picked up the cross. But what you fail to realize is for him to become your Lord, you have to carry the cross. Yeah, it's not enough to pick it up and leave it at the house. And when folk come by, they say, oh, you got a cross. He says, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. Said, no, you got to carry your cross because you recognize that it's in carrying your cross on a daily basis that your life is changed every day of your life. We're at the first of the year. A lot of people have New Year's resolutions. And if you're like many people, working out and eating right is one of your resolutions or two of your resolutions. And here's what I've learned over the years, because you may not be aware of this. I've lost probably 500 pounds, 600 pounds in my life. I've gained back 601, but I'm an expert on losing. I just don't know how to keep it off of me. That's the problem. It always finds me, right? But here's what I've learned. You know this. When you eat right and you work out, you feel better and you lose weight. Y'all looking at me strange, like y'all don't want to say amen because y'all don't want to be convicted. Okay. I'll go by myself. It's all right. I go by myself. So then here's the question. If I start eating right and I start working out, walking every day, and I start taking care of myself better and I lose weight and I feel better and I'm feeling good emotionally and mentally and my clothes are fitting better, or better yet, I got to go shopping and buy some new stuff because I'm too small for my old stuff. Why did you stop? This is not the first year you said I'm gonna get in some of that stuff in my closet. It's not, right? It's not the first year. You don't have to say amen. You can say ouch. Right? Here's what you've learned through experience. You can't start it and then stop it. Because if you start it and stop it and go back to your prior behavior, you will end up in the previous place that you ended up in the first place. Well, it's the same thing with your walk with God. He says, hey, you got to start this thing, but you got to be committed to doing this thing every day of your life. Here's the fourth and final thing, and I'm going to take my seat. Number four, if you are going to live to please the Lord, you must make the commitment to follow Jesus. You must make the commitment to follow Jesus. The end of verse 23, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. This word for follow can also be translated companion with. It expresses a union, a likeness to accompany somebody. It has this idea of being in union with, in the likeness of somebody, so much so that what they do, you do, what they say, you say. How they act, you act. You become the person who follows them or who mimics them. Now, here's what I want you to understand. This is not a passive behavior. You've got to, again, make a commitment to follow Jesus, because it does not happen haphazardly or accidentally. Have you ever driven in a car and you were supposed to be following somebody and they acted like nobody was following them? Right? I mean, they zigging in and out, bobbing and weaving, speeding up, slowing down, jumping off at the exit. And you're like, man, you got somebody trying to follow you. Can you at least turn on your turn signal? You know, right? Matter of fact, just give me the address because I can't follow you no more. Right? Y'all know somebody like that, don't you? But watch this. When you say you're going to follow somebody, you have to stay aware of that, and you've got to pay attention. Because if you don't pay attention, you'll lose sight of the person you're following. And sometimes it's not necessarily them driving so fast or so erratically. Sometimes it's somebody else who cuts in between you. You know, and when they get in between you, especially if it's a truck, and you're trying to see, make sure the person didn't turn, because you're trying to follow them. Jesus says, follow me. Follow me. We used to play a game when we was growing up called Follow the Leader. You remember that game, don't you? And the person who was the leader would have to do something, and then everybody else would have to follow behind. And the worst thing that you wanted was somebody who was older, who was stronger, more athletic as the person who was leading the group, because nobody could follow what they were doing. Right? They want to jump 4 steps down. He's like, nah, I'm going to break my neck. I'm going to go down to the 3rd step. Up, you out. Right? Because you got to do whatever the leader does. Jesus says, I need you to make a decision to follow me, to positively say yes to me. But it comes when you deny yourself, take up your cross, make my will your will, and follow me. I didn't say it as nice as Jesus, but that's really what I was trying to say in my post. I'm going to follow the Lord. I'm going to live for God's approval, not the approval of other people. I'm going to live in a way that pleases God. Here's what I've learned. When I try to please people, the chances that I'll please God are slim to none. But if I live to please God, whoever's pleased out of that, praise God for him. But I've got one approval that I need. I've got one well done that I need to hear. Jesus says, if the world is gained, nothing is gained. But if your soul is lost, everything is lost. Let me say it again. If the world is gained, nothing is gained. But if the world is lost, if your soul is lost, everything is lost. Jesus says you got to carry your cross. You got to carry your cross every day. Jesus endured the cross. That's what the text says, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured, there it is, the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's why we find salvation at the cross. That's what the old song said, at the cross. At the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith that I received my sight. And now I am happy all the day. That's why as a believer we must ask the question, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone. And there's a cross for me. That third verse says, the consecrated cross I'll bear till death shall set me free, and then go home my crown to wear, for there's a crown for me. The simple song said, I've decided to make Jesus my choice, and I've decided to follow Jesus. That's what the song said. I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back. No turning back. But I like that third verse. It said, my cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Then that last verse says, the world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, but the cross before me. No turning back. No turning back. I don't know about you, but I want this year to be the best year of my life. And I'm convinced more than ever that it will only be the best year of my life when I decide to live my life to please God. I hope you'll join me. Come on, let's pray. Father, we thank you and we bless you for today. We pray now that everything that has been said and done has been pleasing in your sight. I pray, God, that we would leave here committing ourselves at the first of this year to start off the right way, to continue the right way, and be committed to finish the right way, living our lives in a way to honor you. Somebody under the sound of my voice, God has fallen short of what you desire because of ignorance. They don't know. And I pray that you would help them to know this year. Some are walking far below where you want them to be because of spiritual immaturity. And I pray, God, that they would grow in you so that they can follow you as you desire. Whatever our issue, whatever our problem, whatever our situation or circumstance, I pray now, God, that you would move by the power of your Spirit to help get us on track and keep us on track. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.